The Senate will come to order. Roll call by the Chief Clerk.
Roll call for Friday, February 6th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Excused.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Vasey.
Here.
Von Platern. President Hines.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
We have a special treat this morning. Stacy Anderson, Majority Floor Leader daughter-in-law, will sing the Lord's Prayer and the National Anthem for us. Stacy.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you please join me as we sing the national anthem?
Oh, say can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof
join me in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Stacy.
Sorry, Steve.
The 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming presents this certificate of appreciation to Stacy Anderson. Thank you for your wonderful performance during this legislative session, and dated the 6th day of February, 2009.
Thank you very much.
Reading, correction, approval of the journal court, clerk of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 5th, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Doctor and Nurse of the Day, Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. It gives me great pleasure today to introduce to you our Doctor and Nurse of the Day, if they'll stand. This is Fred Baldwin and Perry Davison Baldwin, and they are from Kemmer and work there. And you may know Perry. Perry is Representative Davison's daughter, and this is a husband and wife team. And we're very proud of them in our community. And Dr. Fred decided that we needed to call them Superman and Superwoman. So, thank you.
Thought of the day. Some fellows dream of worthy accomplishment while others stay awake and do them. Would our page, Sabermore, please come over to the guest mic? It's with pleasure and sadness that I read this certificate to you this morning, since your 2 weeks is almost over. A resolution of the Senate of the 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming. A resolution to recognize Saber Moore's service as a page in the Wyoming State Senate. Be it resolved that the Senate of the 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Saber has served as a page for the Senate from January 26 through February 6, 2009, whereas Saber's service as a page have been exceptionally and fully appreciated by the Wyoming senators, whereas this resolution has the support of the members of the Senate of the Wyoming Legislature who have signed their name here too. Now therefore be it resolved by the undersigned member of the Senate of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming, Section 1, that Saber has served the Senate of the State of Wyoming with dignity and respect. Section 2, that Saber dedication will serve her well in her future endeavors. Therefore, with a great appreciation, we recognize Saber Moore for her outstanding dedication and support to the State of Wyoming on this 6th day of February, 2009. Saber?
Thank you. Wyoming thing. Thank you very much. Would you like to say some remarks?
I didn't think I'd have to give a speech, so everything comes at a price, I guess. I've had a great time here with you guys. You made this experience awesome. And just thank you. I'm glad I took the opportunity.
Thank you. Von Platerin.
Could I have the privilege of the floor for him? Thank you. And seeing this is Saber's last day, it's my pleasure to introduce to the Senate, and I would like the Senate to not only recognize but thank Saber's mom, who is sitting back here, Frankie Addington.
Messages from the House.
February the 5th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 221, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 70, Landowner Flexibility and Fisheries Protection and Restoration. Ayes 17, noes 42, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills in first reading. House Bill 68, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 68, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, Property Tax Homestead Exemption, and Act relating to taxation and revenue. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1.
House Bill 68 have been referred to committee. Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 6, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 6, sponsored by the Travel Committee, Game and Fish Trapping, and Act relating to Game and Fish. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 6 have been referred to committee. Number 6, Travel. House Bill 39, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 39, sponsored by the Local Government Committee, Population Determinations, Use of Federal Census, and Act relating to Administration of Government. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2.
House Bill 39 have been referred to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 250, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 250, sponsored by Representative Monitz. Classification of Fire Chiefs After End of Term, and Act relating to Municipal Fire Chiefs. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 60.
House Bill 250 have been referred to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 180, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 180, sponsored by Representative Miller, Public Transit Account Funding, and Act relating to public transit funding. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 180 have been referred to committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 41, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 41, sponsored by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Cremation Expenses, and Act relating to Public Assistance Programs. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 60.
House Bill 41 have been referred to committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 61, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 61, sponsored by the Management Council, Revisors Bill, an act relating to revisions of inadvertent errors. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 61 have been referred to committee number 12, Rules. Reports from standing committees.
February the 6th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 60, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 6th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 75, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 6th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 26, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 6th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 106, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senate File 39, second reading of the Senate file.
Child Health Insurance Program.
There is an amendment. Would you please read the amendment in?
Senate File 39, second reading, amendment number one, page 2, line 23.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment to Senate File 39. Members of the Senate, what this amendment does very simply is take the amount of the percentage of people that are eligible for this program instead of 300% above the federal poverty level to 250. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, Mr. President. I think a lot of people already made their minds up, but I just wanted to point out a couple of things. And I have some concerns. We talked about it yesterday relative to the impact this may have on private insurance carriers for small businesses where a lot of people do make, in fact, the $55,000 a year that this takes it up to if it's 300%. Mr. President, what this does, it says if you're 250, if you have a family of three, that'd be the father, the mother, or significant other, and then, of course, the child. That would be instead of $55,000 a year, it'd be $45,000 a year. This program, and I've supported it when we started, I think, back in 1999 in the House, and I'm not so sure that we didn't start out at the federal poverty level. Then we went to 100%, then we went to 185, then to 200, and now we're moving to 300%. I would just ask this body to be cautious. I think 250 is a nice step. Let's see what this means, what it costs us. I'm not affecting the appropriation, Mr. President, because I think the program's a good program. I'm just concerned about the levels of income that people receive that will be eligible for it, and I would ask for your support.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, for the information of the body, I've got the 2009 federal poverty level, family of two at 250%, yeah, that's $36,425 annual income. At 300%, family of two, $43,710. Family of four, $55,125. At the 250%, family of four at 300%, $66,150. Mr. President, I think it's a commentary on what's happening to health care expenses that figures that high can legitimately be considered unnecessary support of the poor. But in fact, with health care expenditures they can be. And then, Mr. President, I would have a question for the sponsor of the bill, or the sponsor of the amendment, either one. Between the time this bill was heard in the Labor Committee and now, the federal government has actually passed and signed into law an increase in the child health insurance program, and I'd hope we get some discussion of what the implications of what the feds have just done are on this particular issue.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the last question, we covered that during Committee of the Whole when we removed subsection B on page 3. And that's the old subsection B. And the reason that we took that out is because the federal government now, as a result of the passage of that legislation, is willing to provide 65% of the funding for the 251 to 300% group. And therefore, that reduced the overall price tag for general funds a great deal. And that's reflected in the amendment from the Appropriations Committee, where it has driven down the general fund appropriation down to $75,000 total for the next fiscal year. With regard to the amendment, Mr. President, let's just base our decisions on what we know and what the facts are. This amendment would affect 1,735 children in Wyoming that we know right now do not have health care, who would be able to access it if we were to defeat this amendment and keep this provision in the bill. We researched this very carefully, Mr. President, before we put this bill together and decided to go to 300%. And here are some of the factual information that affected our decision. First of all, at 300% of the federal poverty level, health care takes up 19% of the family income, and that's the gross income at this point. When this program was created back in 1996, health care costs consumed 16% of the family income at 200% of the federal poverty level. So those at 300% of the federal poverty level are now paying more for family health care than those at 200% did when the program was first created and intended to help those at 200%. The health insurance premiums for families in Wyoming have doubled between 2000 and 2007, and that's the fastest or the largest increase in the United States. Presently, the average family policy is $12,824 a year, and the largest insurance pool in the state, which is the state employees' insurance pool, family coverage is $15,690 a year. That comprises 29% of the gross income of someone at 300% of the federal poverty level. Wyoming is 45th in the nation in the percentage of businesses offering family health care insurance to their employees. And KidCare is a cost-effective program administrated through a private insurance company, and its annual increase is well below what the inflation or the annual increases are for health care in general. There's no evidence at this time that we are having or seeing crowd out from folks being forced into away from private health care into kid care. The biggest incentive right now is the existing program where there's no premiums, no premium assistance, and no cost sharing for those below 200%, and there's absolutely no evidence that this crowding out is occurring. For this group that's a part of this amendment, they're paying the highest premiums and the highest copayments, so it's unlikely crowd out is going to occur. And finally, Mr. Chairman, we do know that providing health care to these kids does provide benefits. It provides benefits to the hospital, health care providers, to the kids themselves, and finally to the schools. And here's one last fact to keep in mind. The cost of providing education in K through 12 is $1.2 billion a biennium. Just this year alone, we're going to pay $30 million just for inflation adjustment. Now, this amendment pertains to $30,000 for this next fiscal year to start covering these kids. That is 0.2% of the inflation adjustment for K through 12 school. In the next biennium is projected to be 0.5% for this particular group of kids. So this is very cost effective. And when we think about what we're spending $30,000 a year on through what's coming through here, Take that and balance that with being able to start covering 1,735 kids. So, Mr. President, it is a matter of need. A matter of need on the part of these kids. It's not a matter of crowd out or cost.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I understand what the sponsor of the bill just explained, but I have a question that kind of arose when we were listening to the original presentation of the bill. We've all seen this chart that's floating around. Do we have any guidelines, Mr. President, when we go to do something like this on how to decide which level of poverty we're going to choose for our particular bills? Because it seems like that what we're doing is we're going back to what we're supposed to do in the care and the support of the poor, and then we're going into the federal government and saying, who do you think's poor? And then we're making a whole bunch of other people poor that aren't on here. So I'm just wondering, I didn't see it on one of the bills that I addressed the poverty level on. Is there a place that we have guidance on that? And if not, Mr. President, maybe should we?
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on the issue of crowd out, I think you can definitely say that at 200% of poverty and less, there probably isn't any crowd out. And a good reason for that is people making 200% of poverty or less probably don't have insurance in the first place, and so there's nothing to crowd out from. But if you start making $55,000 a year, there's a good chance that you've got an insurance policy with that job, or $50,000 a year, or even $45,000 a year. There's a very good chance you do have that insurance policy. And in that perspective, I think that you are going to have some crowd out, and we're basically going to be paying 75% of the insurance costs for all these children. And this is really what you're saying. It doesn't make any difference whether it's federal money that the federal government is borrowing. And frankly, we're not paying it. You're actually charging a bill to these children so they can pay it or their grandchildren can pay it. And you have to say at one certain point of time, are we going to be part of the federal deficit problem? Are we going to put ourselves into a situation in this state where we're going to pay 75% of everybody's health insurance costs? And at what point in time do we say that people have maybe a little bit more skin in the game? This is a good start that they are paying something, and it isn't a total giveaway program. But I think this is a reasonable amendment to see what happens in these higher wage areas as if you do have crowd out. I think it's a legitimate concern and a legitimate question, and you're not talking about the same wage group. And besides, you're looking at the medium wage of Wyoming is probably somewhere in the mid-30s. So you're talking about practically everybody in the state is going to be available to have a 75% reduction in their health care costs. And know where this is going. Know what's gone out of this bill is that today it's the kids and tomorrow it's the parents. And so the direction of this whole scheme is to pay 75% of the medical costs for everybody in the state. And, you know, we have to really look at about how far down this road we want to go and where we want to take a breath. And I think we need to take a breath at 250. I think it's a good amendment.
Senator Massey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an issue that's easy to get emotional on both sides. And I would just ask that folks just think factually and rationally about this. Because, again, you know, this is health insurance for our children. So we just need to give this considered thought. And it's easy to exaggerate what the impacts might be on either side. It's easy to scare people about what may be happening in the future. The parents part was taken out of the bill by the first committee. So it's not in there. We're not paying for parents with this. There is skin in the game, in fact, quite a bit, but just about as much as the feds will allow us with the folks between 250 and 300%. There's no indication, and I haven't seen any studies, Mr. President, indicating that those folks at 200% of the federal poverty level are less likely to be covered by employer family coverage than those at 300%. There is no crowd out at 200%. There's no indication from national studies that there's crowd out at 300%. And please remember, we're one of three states to charge premiums at this level. Okay, many, many other states, all the other states, do not charge premiums. We're just one of three to do it. And I think it's going to work in Wyoming. And finally, why 300%? Because that's what the conditions indicate as being necessary for Wyoming. That was based upon the figures that I talked about the first time I stood up and that we talked about yesterday. It was based upon considered factual information indicating that there are a lot of children that persistently do not have health care out there because of the realities of the cost of health care in our market today.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, yeas and nays, please.
Senator Bebout, no one else wishes to speak before the sponsor takes a second time. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of things, and I really believe in helping people that with children that need to have this kind of insurance, and that's not the issue. It's just the levels of those that we are asking to try to support, and I was going to try to put some information together, but we just don't know. My colleague from Albany County talks about 1,750 children to move into it. I don't know. When you look at a $55,000 salary for a family of three, husband, wife, and child, there's a lot of people in Wyoming that make $55,000, a lot of state employees, a lot of county employees. Are they going to go off that program to go into this? I just don't think we know. Let's be cautious and let's think about this. If, in fact, we do the 250, we can always raise it. We can always raise it, members of the Senate, but I would submit to you that it's hard to go the other way. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Question is, shall second reading amendment and number 1 to Senate File 39 pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Co-excused. Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
No.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Honeycutt. Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
No.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
No.
Von Flatern. President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
First, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 39 have passed. Senate File.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor between bills here?
Just a second, Majority
Leader. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Senate File 39 haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have some special friends in the balcony. I'd like to take a moment to introduce. I'd like to introduce Garrett and Ben and Alex Grant. Their grandfather served in the legislature sometime, and these young men have a definite interest in government, and along with them is also their parents, Susie and Matt. But if you'd welcome the Grant boys, we'd appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Welcome to the Senate. Tell your grandpa hello. We sat together for several years. Senate File 66. Second reading of the Senate File.
Medicaid Foot Care.
Senate File 66. Haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 89. Second reading of the Senate File.
Fallen Hero Scholarships.
Senate File 89, haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 93, second reading of the Senate File.
Oral Health Initiative.
Senate File 93, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 119, second reading of the Senate file.
Public transportation funding.
Senate File 119. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yesterday during our discussion, I just wanted to answer a few of these questions on Senate File 119. Most of you got the packet on your desk this morning in regards to the authority to do this. As far as state funds are concerned, to a public transportation authority up in the basin, it's a letter from Rich Douglas, who is our YDOT local government liaison. And it basically states that there are some statutes that give the transportation authorities this, authority to enter into contract with private air and ground transportation carriers for provision of transportation services. So I just wanted to point that out. And, of course, the back page is the statute itself. And I did get another answer to what is the projection and what the company needs to be a little more solvent as far as passenger and ridership. And it looks like the north and south routes are averaging about just a little over 50 riders per day, and they would need to go to 60. And that's the best information I could gather, realizing, Mr. President and fellow senators, that a bus is a little different than an air service. You get in and buy a ticket from, let's say, Lovell to Grable and get off. It's a little different from, so it's hard to pin down just what they're going to need on the north end route, but it looks like if we're averaging close to 100 per month that they could easily double that, and that probably would put them in the ballpark of where they need to be. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senate File 119, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 134, second reading of the Senate file.
Embossed license plates.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File number 134, second reading, amendment number 1, page 3, line 4.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 134. I've got enough institutional memory in the legislature to remember when YDOT moved to the current painted plates rather than embossed. It was cheaper to make, the equipment was cheaper to buy and maintain, and right now, if I remember right, the embossing equipment has to come from Europe. I think it's Germany, but I'm not going to bet any money on it. I'd like to ask you, how many of you look at your license plates? I don't. If somebody walked out and stole one of mine, I'd probably not notice it till I saw the flashing lights. In fact, I got pulled over on Dell Range a few months ago because something had happened to my renewal notice, and I hadn't renewed it, and I paid a nice penalty for not having renewed my license plates. So I guess people pay attention to what theirs looks like, but I don't. As far as I consider it, they're very pretty, but they're to identify the car, and they're to prove I paid my taxes. My plates are great. I'm swapping them out like you are now. The only one that's in a lot of trouble is my pickup, because I've run my hitch from my sailboat trailer into the plate for 8 years now. But the others, when I wash the car, they look brand new. The technology is really great on them. So I said to myself, okay, there are people do want embossed plates, and I consider them a vanity plate, just like a plate with a name on it or a company or something like that on it. Let's make money for Wyoming. Let's just make some money for Wyoming. The people who are buying the plates are doing well for Colorado Economic Development, because the plates have to be done at the Colorado prison, where they have the embossing equipment, so let's make money for Wyoming. I asked several people I knew, it was a totally worthless random questionnaire, if they would pay $100 as well as $40 for these plates. And their answer was, no problem. Just no problem at all. I'd happily pay $100. So I would ask that you vote in favor of second reading amendment number one, and at least this one extra cost for a vanity plate be what it actually costs them, and a little profit for the state. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would hope the body would resist this amendment. When I brought this piece of legislation, my intent wasn't to make money for YDOT. And just so that we're clear, we're not buying any equipment. I mean, Wyoming didn't want to do it. Our correctional system said, you know, they don't want to be in this business. And so when I was looking for a way to have it done, I asked them to go out and find out how you could do it. And the only way we could do it, well, the best way to do it, was to contract with the Colorado prison system and have those plates done in Colorado. The cost, again, I talked to the Department of Transportation, and they were comfortable with $40, and that $40 would cover their costs in order to do this. And as soon as, by their figures, they'd sold 1,200 plates, they would, you know, pay for the amount, the only equipment that they do have to buy, which are a new set of dies in order to do the stamping. I guess I'm not sure that giving money into the Colorado prison system is economic development in Colorado. I don't think there's going to be people committing crime to get into the system so they can get a job stamping license plates, but maybe. I don't know. So, Mr. President, you know, I think also that if you start down this road and increasing this, I think the bill then probably runs into some problems as far as a revenue increasing measure, and I think there's probably other problems with it. Mr. President, I would urge the body to please resist this. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Standing on and against the amendment, I asked that exact question, about $37,000 to get started on the dies we had to buy for this. Now, I cannot see just allowing money to build up in the license plate division of Department of Transportation. Now, if the good senator had said, and the additional money will go on the roads, I think he would have won a little support on my side anyway. But they told us that the 40 plates, the 1,200 plates, after that they'd be covering everybody's costs and have paid the capital back. My thought would be in the future maybe that we ask them where if there is any profit since you paid your capital back. I mean, we need to think about that. But to charge $100, just to charge $100 and leave that profit sit, not designated for anything in particular other than the license plates, I think that's wrong. So I ask for you to vote no on this amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, the other side of the coin is I don't see where, if we don't sell these certain number of license plates, where we are going to have the cost covered. So why don't we go ahead and put the $100 on there, and if it makes a little bit too much money, we can come back and adjust it down. It'd be a lot easier to cover our costs with the costs that we're going to have with the increased price of the plate rather than going back and trying to juggle budgets and fill a deficit. So I'd hope you vote for the amendment.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, the Chairman of Transportation made the point that the $100 is frankly just arbitrary. The $40 is reached at after negotiation, or not negotiation, but after consultation between the sponsor of the bill and the Department of Transportation. That 1,200 plate number, keep in mind, once you get that plate, you get it for 8 years. So they're going to be talking about getting these 1,200 of these plates over 8 years for the payback. I highly doubt there's going to be any deficit involved. As a matter of fact, I'm betting that that 1,200 figure will be exceeded in the first year. We saw the same thing happen with the university alumni plates, which, frankly, I was against it, but I was shocked to find out they've sold nearly 4,000 of them. I agree with the sponsor of the amendment that generally, license plates should be for identification and the fact you paid your taxes. And the concern I have when you come to special plates is that that blurs up that that identification. In this case, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, the letters are just as easy to see. They're no smaller or in any sense at all. So I would ask the body to resist this amendment and go with the figure that DOT asked for in the first place.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the last word, you know, running government like a business, you know. The good senator from Cheyenne did a reasonable market analysis, came up with a situation where you look at the plates that we have for the university, that's $100. This is $100. If somebody wants a specialty type plate, you know that they're going to spend that $100. It's easier they're going to spend $40. If the money accumulates in that account, I'm sure that we'll find a good way to spend it down the road.
For your second time, Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time. Mr. President, I think you have to remember that the University of Wyoming license plates, that entire $100 fee goes to a scholarship fund to send students back to the University of Wyoming. There's nobody is making any money off of that, and that was the purpose in the case of the university license plates. Plus, remember, you can emboss those license plates also for an additional $40, and so you could pay the $100 to the university to send students to school and then just pay for having your plate embossed. I would urge the body's resistance of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Anyone I have to speak before the sponsor have his second term? Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. If there's any question about where the profit would go, I'll come in with a third reading amendment to put it in the road construction fund tomorrow. And my original figure, I just added a zero to it for $400. I figure that's really do well, buy even more asphalt, but I brought it back down to 100. And, again, people who want a vanity plate are willing to pay for it. Let's take their money and turn it into asphalt and concrete.
Question is on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 134. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion failed. Senate File 134, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 144, second reading of the Senate file.
Property tax assessment rules.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File Number 144, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, Page 3, Line 6.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 144. Folks, this goes into Page 3 of the bill, the last sentence, and removes that last sentence and restates it in a way that I thought was more clear, sets better in a more clear fashion what it is we're looking for. After listening to the testimony in front of the Senate Revenue Committee, it occurred to me that we could do a better job of explaining what we want. I urge your support.
Further discussion? Question is on Senate Second Reading Amendment 1 to Senate File 144. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Senate File 144, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 145, second reading of the Senate file.
Hospital and health care district services to providers.
Senate File 145, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President, we do. Our third reading consent list for today is as follows. Senate File 108, long-term care facilities. Senate File 118, continuance of insurance coverage. Senate File 127, junk dealers. Senate File 135, risk management. Senate File 146, NCAR supercomputer funding. And Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, black-tailed prairie dog.
The consent list today is Senate File 108, 108, long-term care facilities, Senate File 118, continuance of insurance coverage, Senate File 127, junk dealers, Senate File 135, risk management, Senate File 146, NCAR supercomputer funding, and Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, black-tailed prairie dog. Would anyone like any of these bills removed? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I would request that Senate File 135, risk management, be removed from the consent list.
Okay. Any other? The consent list is Senate File 108, long-term care facilities, Senate File 118, continuance of insurance coverage, Senate File 127, junk dealers, Senate File 146, NCAR supercomputer funding, Senate Joint Resolution 4, black-tailed prairie dog. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 108, Senate File 118, Senate File 127, Senate File 146, and Senate Joint Resolution 4. The reading clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Co-excused. Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson. Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 108, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no.
Von Flatern,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 108, 20 ayes, 9 noes, 1 excused. Senate File 118, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 118, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 127, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 127, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. Senate File 146. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 146. 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused. Senate Joint Resolution 4. Are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. DeCaria, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Sessions, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Massey, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate Joint Resolution 4. 20 ayes, 9 noes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 108, Senate File 118, Senate File 127, Senate File 146, and Senate Joint Resolution Number 4 have passed the Senate. Senate File 18, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File Number 18, sponsored by the Mental Health Committee, Mental Injury Workers' Compensation, an act relating to workers' compensation, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 18, third reading amendment number 1 to substitute bill 1. Delete the Schiffer-Geis second reading amendment.
Senator Hess.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 18 and ask that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Members of the Senate, Mr. President, what I'm doing is I'm asking to delete the amendment from the Schiffer Amendment and the Scott Amendments that were passed yesterday on second readings, and further amend to reinsert the language for the first responders that we had in there for the post-traumatic stress, and then also require reporting. Mr. President, what just to kind of, not to rehash all the arguments, but just to state that the division, when I called them, did give me a number on one post-traumatic stress case that they could find, and it was around $12,000 for 12 months, or excuse me, $12,000 for 6 months of care, and in the bill we increased the time to 12 months, and so in considering the lost wages also, their estimate, in which they feel is a good estimate, a good number, is around $50,000 per case. And all they could find was two cases reported since 2006, Mr. President. It was a close vote. I just ask for your reconsideration on allowing for us to begin this with the first responders. And the other part of the amendment does require reporting. You know, it's kind of tough for them to report on something and track something that they're not doing. If we're not having them look into the mental injury cases, it'd be kind of tough. So what this amendment does is deletes the other amendments from yesterday, puts a two-year, and it's important to remember, too, we're only allowing this for 2 years. If the numbers come back and show that it's way out of line, then it goes away. But if it comes back and shows that there isn't any issues with it, then the bottom line is we have to look at it in 2 years or it just goes away. So 2 years on the program for first responders and requires the division to give us a report and track the numbers for the mental injuries. And I ask your favorable consideration.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I'd ask that this amendment be divided. The first division would be lines 1 through 7. And the second division would be lines 8 through 35.
That is divisible. Go ahead.
Mr. President, on division 1, which is lines 1 through 7, Mr. President, what this does is open up again workman's compensation coverage for emergency responders. And again, I don't think we need to go through all the discussion. We had a good debate yesterday on that. Again, I'll reiterate to Mr. President that I support coverage for mental illness. But I also recall the struggles we had in this Senate in 93 and 94 and 95 trying to repair a broken workman's comp system. What the Schiffer, Geis, and Scott amendments does is it narrows the coverage so we can proceed very cautiously with this type of coverage. Yes, it does narrow it. I'm very willing to come back at a later date and say, now let's look at broadening it out. But I urge you to be very cautious when you open this door. Again, there are other workman's comp systems that have tried it. They finally had to quit doing it. They simply could not afford it. What I'm asking in Division One is that you narrow down the scope. Let's look at it for a couple of years, see how it works. But basically, let's protect and proceed fiscally cautiously when we start tapping into the workman's comp fund. I ask you to vote no on Division One.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a technicality here. I think that lines 11 and 12 need to go with Division One.
I believe that is correct. Division 1, then without objection from the sponsor, would include line 11 and 12, along with line 1 through 7. Okay. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and against this particular amendment, I, too, urge you to use extreme caution in getting into this area of pure mental injuries. It can be grossly abused. It can lead you wide open to extreme costs. It can provide some very perverse incentives. That's the risks. On the other hand, we're talking about our first responders here. They have the potential for a very real problem with this post-traumatic stress syndrome because of the just terrible situations that they have to deal. That's a real hazard of this particular part of employment. And it is not accompanied by a physical injury. I think that this amendment does get us into this area very cautiously. It's just 2 years. One way or another, we'll find out what's happened. Do we need to restrict it further? And there are some ways you could restrict it further. How should we proceed in this area? This gets us started very cautiously, in very limited fashion, very slowly. I don't think it puts the fund in any jeopardy. We're in good shape now, and this is limited enough so that I think we can and should afford to do it, because we are talking about a group that does a tremendous service to all the people of this state and that is running a risk that we all know about. So I think this is cautious enough so that it would be the right thing to do at this time, and I would urge us to adopt the amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor have his second time? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I couldn't agree more with my good colleague from Natrona County in that we have proceeded very cautiously. That was the intent of and the focus of what we did in committee, is to proceed very cautiously, very narrowly. Let's take a look at this. Let's move this one forward. Let's look at it again in 2 years and see what happens. This is very narrowly defined and a good modernization of our statutes, and I urge you to support it.
Question is on Division 1 of the third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 18, lines 1 through 7 and 11 and 12. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division passed. Division been called for. All in favor of Division 1, please stand. Those opposed? The chair would vote for the amendment, so it would pass 15 to 14. The second question is before the Senate is line, Division 2, line 13 through 35. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division passed. Senate File 18, are you ready for the question? Senate File 18, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Co-excused? Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin? Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote. Closing.
Townsend,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 16 ayes, 13 noes, and 1 excused.
Senate file 18, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 18 have passed the Senate. Senate file 27, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 27, sponsored by Senator Case, outdoor lighting, and act relating to public health and safety, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 27, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 27 and ask to suspend the continuation of any reading of it. Mr. President, this effectively removes the requirement that the municipalities come under this bill. As we've heard much discussion on this floor during the debate on this bill, in fact, through the home rule statutes, that we actually, cities and towns, actually already have this authority to do this, and it's kind of a redundant issue, I guess. But I'd like to kind of go through this just a little bit, Mr. President, to explain this a little bit. But anyway, the Wyoming Statutes 15-1-103 already empowers, like I said, municipalities to adopt the ordinance necessary for health, safety, and welfare of the cities and towns. And also in 15-1-503, it empowers the municipalities to adopt master plans that provide for the location and extent of lighting. And then in 15-1-601, it also provides, again, for municipal regulations for zoning, which promotes health and the general welfare of the public, and provide for adequate, of course, light and air. Article 13 also in the Wyoming State Constitution, Section 1, also talks about this, where it talks about the Home Rule amendments, as we call them today. It doesn't talk about that, but that's what we consider them to be, as the Home Rule amendments. Permits cities and towns to determine their local affairs as government by ordinance. So they can write ordinances for this, subject to referendum votes and subject to statutes that are uniformly applicable to all cities and towns and counties in the state. And there's no requirement for to have an option for this. Senate File 27, which grants the municipality powers to regulate outdoor lighting, actually harms the home rule powers given to cities and towns under the Wyoming Constitution. By adding this specific power to Article 15, the statute is made uniformly applicable to all cities and towns and prohibits assertions of the home rule in the area of outdoor lighting by any municipality who may wish to use this. No one has indicated so far that I've heard if any municipality has failed to respond to a request to consider regulating outdoor lighting. This is just a way, I guess, for our state to intervene in the local government, in the local governments of our state. Letting local governments review and set regulations regarding outdoor lighting provides each community the ability to address the specific issues surrounding outdoor lighting. The bill, as it now stands, purports to grant authority to regulate outdoor lighting and then limits the authority regarding certain classes of use. The local town council could address the issue better by the surrounding locality and then making these determinations rather than to have the legislature to do it. Mr. President, this amendment removes the requirement, as I said, for cities and towns to be able to operate as they now operate, which they do adequately, and they do a fine job at it. We're always talking about, you know, getting local governments to do their own governing, and we should let them do that. That's what we have always purported to do, and we should continue to do that. So this just simply takes out the municipalities from this bill where it's not needed. And I'd ask you to support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
Mr. President, the issue of home rule as it applies to municipalities in Wyoming is it's not a closed chapter. Suffice to say we still have a ways to go. If indeed municipalities exercise complete home rule, your legislature wouldn't have found a need to put in six pages of specific restrictions on things like for taxation, for gambling devices, for the operation of their council, their purchasing powers, their utility services they can provide, many of which of these specific powers have been adopted by this legislature since the Home Rule change to the Constitution occurred in 1972. And in fact, legal scholars agree that it's still a little bit of an up-in-the-air issue in Wyoming. This is George Rudolph's book. He was a professor of law at the University of Wyoming. It's called Wyoming Local Government Law. Here is his discussion of home rule. This is short and to the point. He says, the court has persisted in its unfortunate habit of quoting Dillon's rule as though nothing has changed. Dillon's rule is the requirement that municipalities get all of their powers from the legislature. Our court, since the adoption of the home rule permission in the Wyoming Constitution, has continued to restrict the power of municipalities. If you look in our annotated statutes after the end of the discussion of municipal powers, here's one. Cities have only such powers as are granted by the legislature, and they cannot challenge the legality of legislation passed by their creators. That's a Wyoming case after home rule. Municipalities can exercise only those powers of government which are expressly or impliedly conferred. City of Buffalo versus Joslin. That happened after the home rule statute was applied. And then when you start looking at different levels of cities, it gets even a little bit more murkier. In Wyoming, we define a creature called a first-class city. That's 4,000 persons and above. There is case law, different rulings that have interpreted the powers of municipalities to be different depending on whether they're a first-class city or not. Some of these involved, for example, Police Protective Association versus Rock Springs had a ruling with respect to first-class cities. Tri-County Electric Association versus Gillette, that ruling hinged on it being a first-class city. So I wish it was clear. If we wanted to make it clear, we could make it clear. We could repeal all the six pages of specific powers that we have granted cities and towns. And we could say, cities and towns, we endorse you that you have home rule. Have at it. We haven't done that. We've considered to continue to add and take away from their powers. In fact, we did it in an earlier bill where we prohibited them from regulating pool tables and dance halls 1 week ago.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, couple points. The relevant language in the Constitution is all cities and towns are hereby empowered to determine their local affairs, and government is established by ordinance passed by the governing body subject to referendum when prescribed by the legislature, and further subject only to statutes uniformly applicable to all cities and towns, and to statutes prescribing limits of indebtedness. It would seem to be fairly clear, but the courts have had difficulty with that. I think the remedy probably is, as the good senator from Fremont County prescribes, that we probably ought to repeal all those list of powers in the statutes and specifically say, in the same thing, that Dillon's rule does not apply in Wyoming, and entitle such a bill an act to implement Article 13, Section 2 of the Wyoming Constitution. Absent that, we've tended to put in, just as we did before home rule, all this list of powers. So that's one point. The issue this amendment brings you is the question of to what extent does the legislature want to start telling the courts it's time you ought to read Article 13 of the Constitution. That's fine. Vote it up, vote it down. I think the point I want to make is that this argument and this amendment is really somewhat irrelevant to the main point of the bill, which is to regulate outdoor lighting. And it doesn't matter whether you're for or against regulating outdoor lighting, how you feel about this particular amendment, Mr. President. This is an issue with regard to our home rule, and is this the way to start challenging the court on that, or should we do it in a more general way?
Senator Von Platen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At first, I didn't think this amendment had a lot of effect on what we were doing. Remember, it's optional. So we're not saying that they'll do this or you need to do this. It's just optional. But it also takes out, in many ways, the amendment I put on there, or it does delete that amendment, as it references that first part of the bill. So having known that and thinking about, you know, the amount of mineral development within my city limits, I'm surprised we didn't put this type of bill together to exempt the mineral production, because, I mean, I can see plenty of mineral development outside my windows in the city limits. And so by accepting this amendment, you are taking that exemption out. And so I speak against this amendment, and I hope we vote it down.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the good senator from Gillette just rang a little bell. I mean, what's the difference between development and production? Did we not exempt development, and we're just exempting production?
Senator Cooper.
Well, first of all, Mr. President, I'd like
time.
To... Pardon me? Yes,
for
thanks,
second
time. I'd like to just mention, though, first
if
of all...
If you want to wait a second to see if anybody else wants to speak before you have your second time as sponsor. Did anyone else wish to speak? If not, Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I just want to ask for the ayes and the nays on this when we go to vote on it, if I could. And second of all, Mr. President, for the good senator from Campbell County, I'd just like to mention that actually the reason that there was only one section of that his original amendment that was taken out, and that because it had to do with ordinances. And so the cities and towns still have the ability to regulate that regard. And in the amendment, we had to take out that because cities are the only ones that can write ordinances. Counties can't do it, so there was no sense of having that section of that amendment in there if the cities or municipalities weren't included in the bill, and that's why that is. So it doesn't exclude it. It's still in effect for the counties. It's just that the cities and towns would be able to do that themselves. And second of all, Mr. President, it seems to me is the a lot of those home rule rules are in there, actually, in statutes, probably because the cities and towns wanted them in there, and they needed to have the ability to regulate and have the authority to do that. And so they're in there. The thing about this bill that we're embarking on now, they haven't asked for this. I don't know. I kind of wonder where the hue and cry is by communities or counties or whatever for this, and that's why writing this amendment to take these folks out of there, because they basically, if you talk to your city councilmen and your mayors, they will tell you they don't want us stepping on and intruding on their home rule. They like it that way because they can do what they want. And that's what we're really doing with this bill, Mr. President. Thank you.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 27 pass? All in favor say aye. Oh, excuse me, the ayes and noes have been called for. Chief Clerk would call the roll, please.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Co-excused? Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings? Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 12 ayes, 17 noes, 1 excused.
The amendment has been defeated. Senate File 27, having been read. Senator Cooper.
I'd like to be able to speak on the bill, if I could.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Before we vote, fellow senators, I just would like to get up and say a little prayer. No, just joking. A little point on this bill. You know, the thing that I guess that bothers me, we really need to think about this on this bill, probably more than anything else, is the fact that, you know, if someone has an agenda out there that wants to stop progress in our state, particularly those for our communities that maybe need to expand, maybe recreational facilities, industrial facilities. We talked the other day a lot about agricultural operations, whatever. If somebody has an agenda to want to stop those types of growth in our state, believe me, fellow senators, with this bill, they can do it. I know it's an option, but you know, there's always some crazies out there someplace that are doing something that maybe the rest of us didn't mean for them to do, but with this bill, they can do it. So as we go in to vote for this bill on third and final reading, we need to think about that.
Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would urge you to think about this bill. It's been here many times before. We've always rejected it. Think about what you're doing. You are giving, in the history of this legislature, you're giving counties only the second power to make resolutions, purportedly for health and safety. I guess I don't think lighting is a health and safety issue. Only the second time we have been given them resolution power to do this kind of thing. When you think about all of the things that can be affected by this lighting bill, and we've talked about them earlier in days, and what may happen, what could happen, and that's the problem. They say, well, it's voluntary, and local governments won't ever do that. I'm sorry, but some local governments will. It can be used as an anti-development. It can be used as a anti agriculture or anti a mineral or a lot of things as a means of controlling that is not now available to counties. There's so many things out there that we've talked about. Auto dealers, football, athletic fields, ski hills, night skiing, whether they can have lights up there to snowpack. It's just a broad, broad bill. We've had the discussions other years, and not having the amendment, I talked about the light trespass concept. And you all remember that from other years. That really is still in the bill, though that took it out, because I've been told by the language that's there, that's still a possibility of lawsuits over light trespass. And it was mentioned, it's, I guess, in the eyes of the beholder. It was mentioned one of the arguments for this bill. When you come over from Laramie and you look down there and you get up there and all of a sudden there's the lights of Cheyenne. And it was talked about how bad that is. Frankly, I think that's wonderful. I've been driving for 8-9 hours and finally I see the lights out there very dimly and by golly, there's Cheyenne. How nice that is. How nice that is. Lights are not all bad. Dark is dark, and I guess it's age, but I kind of like light. I like this light being brighter. I like coming over the hill and seeing Cheyenne down there. So I think you want to go very carefully in broadening those powers in the health and safety initiative that we've never done before, that we rejected three times before. And I ask you to think about those things and vote against this bill. Let the cities who can already do it, you know, go ahead. But let's not get way out there for light control.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don't want to replow old ground, but one other thing that this bill does, I don't think we've necessarily talked about, but ultimately you've really given an opportunity now. You've created a situation you're going to have with this bill, you're going to have citizens against citizens. You've now created an opportunity, if this regulation is passed at the city or municipal or the county level, for your neighbor to come in and say when you're going to put up a light, light trespass. You're violating energy conservation. You're going to have an opportunity for any time anybody else does, this is just one more thing where your neighbor can come and stick their nose in your business. And you just think about that if that's where you want this whole thing to go, because that's exactly where it's going to go. The city is going to pass ordinances, county is going to pass resolutions, and neighbors are going to start squabbling about light trespass and all the other things that we've talked about. Give us some serious thought.
Majority floor leader.
Thank you. Just quickly, we talk much in legislation in regard to the unintended consequences, and I would submit to you that this bill is absolutely loaded with the unintended consequence, and I'd ask you to consider that very carefully and vote no.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, we've spent a good deal of money, effort, improving the lighting in this chamber. And I think we've all been happy with that. But, Mr. President, it still doesn't seem to be good enough to prevent us from seeing things that go bump in the night. And I think that's what we're seeing here. The place where there might be some mischief would be in some of the lighting on some of the mineral development, particularly some of the drilling rigs. Those are temporary things. The amendment we adopted in Committee of the Whole removes those from something they can regulate. What this bill does is give the counties the power to deal with these lighting situations that you get, to get people to do some things that really aren't that expensive, to get the light where they need it and keep it from going all over the place. I don't see how anybody who's trying to impede progress can particularly use this. I don't think you're going to turn a bunch of petty tyrants loose and cause wars among neighbors or anything like that. What you're going to do is get lighting that is focused where it needs to be and doesn't go everywhere else, and I think that's a good thing. And I think that we can trust our local elected officials to be sensible, because if they aren't sensible, the voters know how to deal with them, and they will deal with them. And for those reasons, Mr. President, I urge us to support the bill.
Senator Burns.
President, on and for the bill, I'm frankly surprised at the number of concerns I've heard about this bill and so many things that they're afraid it might do that it doesn't do. And the fact of the matter is, those counties that have zoning, frankly, have this authority already. It's those counties that don't have the zoning, and it's if somebody is really being a nuisance, which can happen. And there is an additional health and safety factor, and when you drive up I-25, as I do often when I'm on my way home, if the weather's bad, which it is often, especially in the winter, and you're just a few miles east of Casper, there is a car dealership that has unbelievable lights. And frankly, it's hard seeing the road in certain situations of ice and rain. To me, that is a very much a health and safety factor. And the fact is, it's outside the city limits. There's absolutely nothing anybody can do about that. A lot of people here live in Wyoming, come to Wyoming, bring businesses to Wyoming. They don't come here because of the bright lights. If they came, if they wanted to go to the bright lights, they would go to Denver. They would go to other communities. One of the great things about Wyoming, and we've talked about it, and I sit on as TRW, we always talk about the great lifestyle that we have, the fact that, that outdoors is part of what we do here in Wyoming. And part of that are the night skies, the fact that we can see the night skies, the fact that we can see the stars at night. This is not some sort of conspiracy to try and stop business. This is not some sort of conspiracy to try and stop mineral production or ranching or farming, and it's not some sort of conspiracy to stop cars from being built. What this does is it gives the local counties authority to be able to stop light from being shined straight up and therefore ruining other people's view of the stars, or out. It does not stop the lights from being shined down. The new representative, the new senator from Cheyenne the other day, I think yesterday, mentioned that he was on his way to one of the hotels and he saw those 100-foot poles by DOT. Those poles are absolutely perfect. Any sort of light ordinance that would be put in, those poles would match it. Because if you look at those lights, they're not going up. They're going down. And they're lighting the area they're supposed to light. That's what this is aimed at. And if it is abused, you've got the any residents and citizens have two avenues. The first avenue they have is the is their county commissioners to go back and complain that their rights are being impeded by, or their business is being stopped by some sort of strangulation on their business of the light and shining that light somewhere else. And we just, within the last hours, passed the bill. It opens up an entire new, and I'm sorry to violate the rule about other bills, but opened up an entirely new entitlement program. And part of the sales on that was, if it doesn't work, in 2 years we can come back and revisit it. Well, there's absolutely nothing stopping us from coming back and revisiting this if it doesn't work. But I've heard from a number of my constituents asking about this year in and year out, and asking us why we haven't passed it.
Senator Case.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank the body for all your patience as we've worked through this bill. And you've done good work, and I can't thank you enough. You've shot straight and told me what you're doing, and I appreciate that greatly. I'm very impressed with, I believe it's six members of this body that are former county commissioners. You're some of the smartest people in this body. You have the greatest experience, and I've always looked to you as kind of, I've learned a lot from all of you. And I know that each and every one of you, if you were sitting on a county commission and you were deciding about lighting ordinances, I would have perfect faith in what you're going to do. And you know what? Those county commissioners out there, they're the same caliber of folks that you are. And I suppose that's why, finally, the County Commissioners Association decided that this bill wasn't a threat to them. They decided not to oppose it this year. And they're not leading the flags. They're not out here leading flags, but they're not opposing it this bill this year. They have no opposition. It's been mentioned about auto dealers, and I've seen auto dealers doing a lot of improvements. And one very large auto dealer in the state of Wyoming is a good friend of mine and is from land. And he told me before I came down that this year he wasn't going to fight the bill. And I'm not aware of any organized opposition from auto dealers, because I've seen them making great improvements in how they light their lots and things that are happening. They're sensitive to this issue, and I'm glad to see it. The Department of Transportation, we've mentioned their lighting. You know, their cities and local governments have very little control over what the Department of Transportation does. They adopt those lighting practices for safety of drivers and, you know, to meet federal guidelines and things. But I'm proud of their lighting. By and large, it's very, very good. Sometimes I think the poles are so high, but we don't really have anything to do with those because of federal requirements and other places in the law. That's why you didn't see the Department of Transportation come into the committee hearings. And when I first proposed this bill many years ago, they were drug into it, and they came. I'm a businessman. I have a hotel business. A hotel was mentioned the other day. I'm in disagreement with the association that represents hotels and restaurants in Wyoming. And I don't belong to that association basically over this disagreement, to be perfectly frank, because I think they're just flat wrong. And if they come to my place, it was mentioned that somebody went to a hotel the other day, they will see that I protect my customers. I'm very sensitive about lighting. It really has nothing to do with signage, because signage regulations are already embedded in every municipal ordinance. You wouldn't believe what you have to go through to put up a sign. How high, how much light, how wide. It's not about signage. It's more about ambient lighting. My place is safe. My customers are safe. And they're safer than the hotels around here, because you can walk up and you're not blinded by other lights. You can really see what's going on because the light's on the ground. Thanks a lot. You guys have been great. It's a privilege to work with you.
Are you ready for the question? Senate file 27, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Co-excused Cooper?
No.
DeCaria? Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross? Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 14 ayes, 15 noes, 1 excused.
Senate file 27, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 27 have failed to pass the Senate. Senate file 135, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 135, Risk Management, sponsored by Senator Bebout, and act relating to environmental quality, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Schiffer.
I ask that this bill be taken off the consent list. Mr. President, prior to second reading, I expressed a concern that this bill needed an appropriation on it. And I never got an answer on that. In visiting with DEQ, it appears it does need an appropriation on it. What happens is, and this is a good idea. It's a great idea, I think. But it means that every single solid waste district needs to have one of these risk assessments. I mean, that's a real good thing. That may save having to put in all these liners and lots of things that are unnecessary. But it means that each individual one has to be assessed. Is it safe? Is it going to protect water and people and prairie dogs and all the things that need protecting, I think. But what bothers me about it is that if you don't put the money behind the program, it's only going to happen in the wealthy counties. What we're saying, in essence, is if you're a poorer county and you can't afford to go out there and try and do this, and DEQ, they get no money to do it, it's not going to happen. And to me, that doesn't make sense. We should be doing a risk assessment in every single one of these. I want to protect things, but let's do it right. And if we don't need to line these things, we can cut the costs on them and make them safer. But I guess what bothered me is it seems to me that there should have been some sort of response when the agency says, we can't afford to do this. And that's what they say. I don't know what they need. They'll figure it out. The figure I was given was $2.9 million. It's expensive, if that's what it is, but I got no confirmation that that's what it is.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President, and it's good to hear that my colleague from KC supports the idea because it is a good idea. And there's nothing wrong with having risk assessment that leads to risk management when we talk about these landfills. It's something that we need to do for these districts. As to the appropriation, you may recall when we had the general file on committee of the whole debate on this issue, I had suggested to this body that I talk to the department, and having reviewed this, and their opinion at that particular time was they felt they could deal with it through the rest of this year and come back through the budget cycle, the proper process, through the governor's budget, through the Joint Appropriations Committee, and come with the amount of funds they need. I stood up on this floor yesterday and said that I have had subsequent conversations with the department. They now feel that that may not be attainable, and I presented that to this body then. I will tell you that the information that my colleague from KC presented is accurate. They feel like there is a cost involved in this. What I was going to do, working with the Appropriations Committee, was look at a budget amendment to the floor when we do our supplemental budget bill and have that discussion then. I'm not totally convinced that they need it, but they certainly have said that they do now, in fact, feel like they would be impacted, which is different than I had heard from them before. I would ask that you pass this Senate file. It's important. It does a lot of good things for both small and large communities. We need to look at it. Then let's have the discussion about the appropriations at the appropriate time, which would be in the supplemental budget bill.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Senate file 135, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case? Co-excused, Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Esquibel,
no.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson, Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed. 22 ayes, 7 noes, 1 excused.
Senate file 135. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 135 had passed the Senate. Senate File 138, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File Number 138, Healthcare Professions Database, sponsored by Senator Scott, and Act relating to the Wyoming Healthcare Commission, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File Number 138, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 14.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this is the bill that transfers responsibility for the healthcare professions database from the healthcare commission that's sunsetting to the Department of Health, and then appropriates basically what they have been spending for this purpose. The discussion in committee number 2 was that it would be well worthwhile to, since we're discontinuing the regular hard copy publication, which that committee number 2 amendment did, it would be well worthwhile to make the database much easier for policymakers and all our citizens to use, make a much better user interface. And the health department thought that was a good idea. The University of Wyoming operation that will be managing this database is right now and will continue with this bill thought it was a good idea. and they didn't have the exact figures together as to how much it would cost. What this amendment does is it goes in to what was originally subsection C, and with the Appropriations Committee amendment will now be subsection B, and says of the appropriation there, we're going to spend $40,000 on it for the analysis of the data, which is specific studies on specific priority topics, so that we're really using this database. And then for this coming year, we'll spend $100,000, which is what they estimate it would take, to do the interfaces so that it is much more useful for all our citizens. Mr. President, this doesn't add any new money to the bill, this amendment. It merely says of this $140,000 in this subsection, here's how we're going to use it. And it does let them switch a little money between those two uses, because they're probably going to be, these are probably going to cost a little more or a little less than they estimate to do the user-friendly interface. Mr. Chairman, that's the amendment. I'd be happy to answer any questions on it.
Questions on the amendment? We're ready for the question. All in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 138, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Senate File 138. Are you ready for the question? Senate File 138, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Co-excused? Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas? Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 138, 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 138, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 138 have passed the Senate. Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, having voted on the prevailing side on Senate File 27, I would ask for immediate reconsideration and ask the Senate to vote no.
The question is then the reconsideration vote on Senate File 27. Let's just take a roll call. Yeah. Okay, a roll call is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns? Case?
Aye.
Co-excused. Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 12 ayes, 17 noes, 1 excused.
The reconsideration have vote. A vote have failed, and Senate File 27 is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Announcements. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number one, Judiciary, will meet on Monday morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following House bills. House Bill 164, engrossed, prescription drug, fraud, felony. House Bill 150, peace officer definition. And House Bill 165, engrossed, adult adoption.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number eight, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet Monday, 10 minutes after adjournment, in S-13 to consider House Bill 47, engrossed, commercial signage on highways, House Bill 51, engrossed, handicapped motorcycle plates, House Bill 113, engrossed, careless driving, House Bill 83, engrossed, governmental immunity, public transportation. And, Mr. President, could I have privilege of the floor for one other announcement?
Yes, you may.
Fellow senators, you should have all received an invitation to the Wyoming Women's Foundation lunch on Monday. It'll be Monday at noon at Little America Hotel, and hope you all join us.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will not meet today at noon as we usually do, and we will meet Monday to discuss various House bills depending on assignment at 30 minutes. And, Mr. Chairman, could I have the privilege of the floor for a moment?
You may.
Thank you. I would like to introduce many. I've had an intern down here for about a month now from Jackson Hole High School. He's done an outstanding job. He really cares about government. He's down here, been assisting me for a month now. He's going to have to go home today, go back to school and take some tests. May even come back. He likes it so well. So I would like you to welcome him and thank him for all the assistance he's been to I and the Minerals Committee. So his name is Grayson Buckingham. He is from Jackson, an outstanding young man. I'd like to thank him.
Thank you. We're glad you was here and helped us. Further announcements? I would announce that I think you received a letter, a note reminding us of Legislators Day at the University of Wyoming tomorrow, beginning at 10:45 at the Conference Center. And also there will be a bus available for 47 people that get there first, leaving at 10 a.m. from Little America. You've heard the motion that the Senate shall stand recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion passed. We are recessed.